The Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for The Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330, and we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are on live weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m., and the program re-airs from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KJLL. On today's show, an update on President Obama's visit to the University of Arizona. Then we'll talk with Dr. Victoria Mazes of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Then we have newsmaker interviews lined up with State Senators Linda Lopez and Paula Aboud. Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott will be here, and Tucson Realty Head Hank Amos. Well, President Obama and the First Lady will be traveling to Tucson today in response to the tragic Saturday shootings that claimed 6 lives and injured 14, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The memorial event will be at 6 p.m. tonight at the McHale Center on the UA campus. On the Buckmaster Show live line is Jennifer Fitzenberger. She is Director of External Communications with the University of Arizona. Jennifer, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you, Bill.
What should our listeners to the Buckmaster Show know about this event if they're planning to come over there?
Well, the event begins at 6 o'clock at McHale Memorial Center, and the doors open about 4 o'clock, and so we are recommending that people who plan to attend arrive early. And also, there is going to be security going into the center. It will be airport-like security. Certain items are prohibited, including laptop computers, sharp objects, metal or plastic drinking bottles. And members of the public are also asked not to bring backpacks, bags, or large purses.
Now, the seating, of course, will be limited. This is first come, first serve. And what about the parking situation on campus today?
The recommended parking areas for the public include the campus lots south of 6th Street, as well as the 6th Street garage and the Park Avenue garage. And parking in those areas is free on a first come, first serve basis.
Jennifer, the theme is Together We Thrive, Tucson and America. Give us a little idea about the program, and how did this event come about? Did UA President Dr. Robert Shelton reach out to the White House and make the invitation to President Obama?
The university did reach out to President Obama and Mrs. Obama, and they did accept our invitation, and so they will be joining us this evening. In terms of the agenda for the evening, there will be some opening music and then a Native American blessing, and then there will be a welcome by President Shelton, followed by a playing of the national anthem. And then there will be a series of remarks by President Shelton, a student at the U of A, Governor Jan Brewer, the Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, the U.S. Attorney General, and then President Obama will end the remarks section, and then that will be followed by a moment of silence. And the duration of the event is approximately about an hour.
Okay, Jennifer Fitzenberger, thank you very much for being with us. And classes at the University of Arizona, I understand, actually have been postponed. The start will be today. It was supposed to be the start. It will be now tomorrow.
That's correct.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, Dr. Victoria Mazes is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. And I'm also delighted to report that she will be the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. We'll be having Dr. Mazes on the program at least once a month commenting on health matters. Want to point out she's the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. And Dr. Mazes joins us now live in studio. Good to see you.
Thank you. So good to be here.
This is such a sad week. I know you flew in from New York. You got out of snowbound New York just in time. We're able to get a flight out of here. You were not in town when all this happened. It must have been kind of weird looking at all these events in your hometown from afar.
Well, it was strange, and I'd say also there was an incredible outreach of support, ranging from people I spoke to on the street to people I was meeting with, emails, phone calls. Everybody across the country is grieving. I hate to have Tucson put on the map for this reason, but Tucson is very much on the map right now.
Some of your personal feelings about Congresswoman Giffords. I've made it very clear on this program this week, Victoria, about she's been, I consider her to be a good friend. I know she's a friend also of the Center for Integrative Medicine and Dr. Andrew Weil, the founder of the program.
Yes, she's been an incredible friend to the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and also, I would say, to the University of Arizona. She's charismatic, she's articulate, she's passionate about things that we care deeply about, the environment, healthcare reform, education. She has been an incredible congresswoman.
Talk a bit about how people deal with grief. Whether you know the congresswoman or whether you just know of her, admire her work or whatever, people are working through this week. The community is healing in many different ways. What can you suggest?
Well, we are grieving and we all are experiencing a sense of loss. This creates pain for all of us. I'd say first what not to do. Often, when a loss is not directly personal, it's not your sister, your mother, your child, people tend to minimize. And I think that that's the wrong response. I think the right response is to listen compassionately and to really make space for this sense of loss that we're all feeling. And the ways you do that are to just listen with an open heart, to listen generously, to allow someone to fully express themselves instead of interrupting or denying or minimizing. And then I think it's always appropriate to say, is there something I can do to help?
Yes.
At these times, of course, often we turn to our spiritual practices, whether that's spending time in nature, whether that's a religious faith tradition. But it is a time when we go deep to what gives ourselves a sense of strength at difficult times, whether it's gathering with friends, but to remember those practices that we all have and to turn to them.
This outpouring is so wonderful to see how people have left flowers, they've left candles over at the Congresswoman's office and over at UMC. I guess everyone feels if they go out and they leave some flowers, it sort of makes it a little more personal for them.
Well, it gives us something to do. And I would also say that, you know, our thoughts, our intentions, our prayers for Gabrielle Giffords, for the families who have lost personally, for the people who were wounded, that we might not know the full impact of those thoughts, prayers, and intentions, but I know personally it's helped me every day to hold some time with that intention for healing, for recovery, for solace.
You know, from a medical point of view, I am just in awe, Victoria, about you and your colleagues at the University of Arizona, the way this was handled from a medical point of view. First of all, a headshot, getting Gabrielle Giffords to the trauma center, our only trauma center here in Southern Arizona, UMC, in 38 minutes. That's got to have made a huge difference.
Yes, everyone is saying that the very rapid response time is certainly one factor in her surviving this terrible injury. The other thing people have been focusing on is actually the angle that the bullet took through her left temple and that it spared major arteries, that it spared major central parts of her brain that would have led to her death. And we just really have to pray for a complete recovery. The brain has enormous plasticity, and so there is the potential for healing, for recovery, and we'll know more with time.
How is the Center for Integrative Medicine doing? Perhaps some of the Buckmaster Show listeners are hearing about it for the first time. Encapsulate what you do.
Yes, well, our major focus has been on education, and we are known internationally as the leading center for integrative medical education. We educate physicians at the fellowship level, at residency level. We're involved in the medical school teaching. We also have a small clinic. We're actually planning to enlarge that soon, and we do research.
And over the coming months, we will have a lot to talk about. I know women's health issues are very dear to you, and perhaps I think next month we may address the fertility issue.
I'd love to do that. I actually have a book coming out on that topic soon.
Okay, Dr. Victoria Mazes, it's always a pleasure to see you, and I'm glad you got out of snowy New York and could join us here on the Buckmaster Show. Good luck to you, and thanks.
Thank you so much.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Coming up on 19 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. And want to remind you, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Well, last night, the governor signed Senate Bill 1101 into law. It creates a 300-foot barrier between picketers and any location where a funeral or burial service is being held. On the Buckmaster Show live line, we have two of Arizona's state senators from Tucson, both Democrats, State Senator Paula Aboud. She is from District 29. She is the state Senate Minority Whip, and State Senator Linda Lopez from District 29. We'll begin with Linda Lopez. Senator Lopez, thank you for being with us. This has been a very difficult time because I know how close you are to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords.
Yes, Bill, it's been really challenging. Monday, opening day, was really difficult for me. Everybody was in a gay mood. You know, we're opening day, people are getting sworn in, new legislators. But my mind was in Tucson with my good friend Gabby, and it's still there, quite frankly. I'm doing a little better dealing with it, but anxious to get back to Tucson. I'll be leaving shortly. I'm in a committee meeting right now, taking a little break for this phone call, but coming back for the memorial this evening and attending funerals tomorrow and whenever they occur. It's been a real challenge.
Senator Aboud, I'm sorry I introduced you from District 29, Linda's district. That would have been a first. Two state senators from the same district, and of course you're from 28. And thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Well, thanks for doing this. So, as Linda said, Difficult week, but made easier, actually, by all the legislators and the governor coming together in support of this funeral bill.
Tell me about this funeral bill. You pretty much spearheaded this, did you not?
Well, no, I actually did not. We, the Tucson legislators, were all in grief and standing by bedsides and vigils and so on, and so we were in our grieving, but no, it was Representative Ed Ablesser who had the idea that when he heard the protesters were coming to Tucson, he started the bill. He got Senator Sinema to run it in the Senate, and he ultimately got Speaker Adams, Kirk Adams, and Senator Sinema got Senator Russell Pierce to sign on. So it became completely nonpartisan, and I don't know how it passed in the House, but it was unanimous in the Senate.
My understanding, Bill, is that it was unanimous as well in the House.
Linda Lopez, this just seems this group that pickets and protests at funerals, it just seems so appalling to me. I just can't even comprehend it.
I agree with you. I'm not sure what motivates this individual, and from what I understand, most of the people in his church are his families. I'm not sure what motivates them to do this. I think it's a really odious behavior, and I'm glad that the legislature did come together and pass this bill. But I do think that, I mean, it's important to balance, freedom of speech in this country. That is important, but, people really do need to be careful about where they do that and how they do that and what the consequences are of that. One of our senators yesterday when we were voting on the bill, Senator Linda Gray, said that one of the most important things to do is to not give these people publicity. And I agree with her. I do think that, putting the spotlight on them, I think, encourages them to continue this kind of behavior. But it is important to have this law in place.
Yeah, because it seems to me that they're doing this for publicity, and that's really what their motive would be. At least
Yes. That's
my guess. Senator Aboud, do you have some of the First Amendment concerns as well?
Well, of course. My first response when I heard that these folks were coming was to actually mobilize the community, that I had seen a program on television where a Midwestern small community had folks from 3-4 hours away coming to create human barricades to separate the families during the funerals from these protesters. So actually, I know you're talking about First Amendment, but what I was thinking, my spearheading was to get our Democratic Party to reach out to the business community, the Republican Party, and they've reached out to the Tea Party, and all individuals are coming together to form that human barricade for the Thursday funeral for the little girl. And I've read the blogs, Bill, up here in Phoenix, on that bill, and there are people leaving work in Phoenix on Thursday and coming down to be part of the human chain.
Oh, that's wonderful. Senator Lopez, I want to go back to your relationship with Congresswoman Giffords. Boy, I tell you, when I saw that picture, her hand squeezing Mark's, her astronaut husband at UMC today, tears came to my eyes this morning. I can't tell you. This just seems like it's a miracle that the recovery process. And tell us a little bit about how long you have known Congresswoman Giffords.
Well, I've known Gabby for about 12 years. First met her when we both ran for the legislature, and we got elected in 2000. And once we took our seats up here, we were roommates for 5 years, and have continued to be close friends. We've traveled all over Arizona and the country and into foreign countries as well, traveled together, most often rooming together. I had a bridal shower for her before she and Mark got married, and was in her wedding as a bridesmaid. And I got married the day after Thanksgiving of this past year, and she had a bridal shower for me a couple of days after the election, which I was, very moved by that, because I know she was in a really challenging race. And really emotional about what was going on with her election. So, I really have always valued and appreciated her friendship. And you talk about girlfriends. Women know what a girlfriend is, and that's Gabby. She's been my best friend for many years now. So I'm very worried and anxious about her condition. But I feel hopeful because, first of all, I know that the folks at UMC are incredible. Very close friend that was in there for about a month back in October, and I saw the incredible work that they did there. And I know that she's in absolutely the best hands possible. And I also know that Gabby is an incredible fighter. And so I know she's going to fight for herself as well. And she's got great resources, great strengths with Mark and her mom and dad, Spencer and Jinx, and her sisters. So and she's a wonderful friend. So best possible conditions for someone with this kind of situation.
That's certainly true. Senator Aboud, what's your relationship with the Congresswoman?
Well, she was kind of the leader in District 28. She, when she ran for the House and then later moved to the Senate, she became everybody's representative, and she's just a fun-loving, wonderful person. And when she stepped out of the Senate to run for Congress, I was selected. So, but I had a relationship with her before that. We'd go to Gabby to see, what did you do? How did you win? Nobody ever heard of you before. But she was a really hard worker, and everybody admired and respected her.
Ladies, let's talk about, in the remaining 2.5 minutes or so, about what work now gets done. I'd imagine that this has kind of cast a pall over the start of the legislative session. Senator Abboud, what's the priority once things probably gear up on Monday?
Well, certainly for the state, the budget is the priority, but we actually have a lot of concern around the transplant bill. We have several pieces of legislation in that are fully funded if we can get the Republicans to even hear the bills, and they're saying that the governor does not want those bills to be heard, so she seems to want to be holding people hostage, and we're just really concerned about that. But it's really, I have to tell you, it hurts me to say this right now because we're still in the pain of the tragedy of last weekend.
It's 27 minutes past the hour. Senator Lopez, a few of your thoughts about what the tone of the legislature maybe should be come Monday.
Well, it would seem to me that come Monday we really need to be very serious in working together, both Republicans and Democrats, for the future of this state. I hope that if anything was learned from this tragedy that's occurred, that everyone will understand we need to put our partisan differences aside. We need to take care of one another, and we need to take care of our state. So it'll remain to be seen how things happen on Monday and what the mood is going to be going forward. I know for me, my goal is to work for the betterment of the state.
And we got about 30 seconds. I assume, I know you're coming down, right, for the memorial tonight at 6, Senator Lopez?
Yes, I'll be leaving shortly after my committee meeting.
I'll be at the funeral tomorrow for the young girl and for the judge on Friday and probably for Gabe on Saturday. Bill, have you heard if any protesters are in town yet?
I have not. I hope they aren't. I really hope they aren't.
I think the law, we were hoping that the law would deter them.
Yeah. Ladies, we're going to have to run, but I really thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show this morning and sharing some of your thoughts about Congresswoman Giffords.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Coming up soon on 9:30 here on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be going to the CNN break here very shortly, but I want to tell you, in the second half of the Buckmaster Show today, we have Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott, and then Hank Amos will be joining us from Tucson Realty and Trust. He'll be talking about the real estate forecast, and we'll also be sharing with them some comments about this situation here with this tragic shooting in Tucson, Arizona. Let's take a break now with CNN News. This is The Buckmaster Show on KJLL.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
And we cannot be stopped.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The House will vote on a resolution today condemning the Arizona shooting spree.
Honors the service and leadership of Representative Gabrielle Giffords, a distinguished member of this House, as she courageously fights to recover.
The resolution says intimidation and threats of violence cannot silence the voices of any American. President Obama will be going to Tucson later today. He'll meet with the families of the 6 people who died. You might have trouble flying to or from the Northeast because of another snowstorm. Over 1,000 flights are canceled in New York. The Lebanese government collapsed today after 11 cabinet members resigned. This happened as Lebanon's prime minister was meeting with President Obama at the White House. People in Illinois are going to see huge tax increases because of the state's financial trouble. Illinois lawmakers approved the tax hikes early this morning for individuals and corporations. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
I'm all about the three S's: stock up, save money, and simplify.
Member Renee Chevalier on the Sam's Club January stock up event.
I stock up now and save big on the basics we use all the time. Detergent, paper towels.
Health and beauty products, too. Save over retail on brands like Tide, Bounty, and Colgate. And sample all the Sam's Club values and benefits January 12th through 25th with no membership required.
Now that's simple.
Not a member? Join at Sam's Club or samsclub.com. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
All right, sir, your new tires are all installed.
And how much do I owe you?
Let's see, 4 all-weather radials plus balance, alignment, and labor brings your total to $0.
Did you say zero?
Yep, it's free.
Thank you. From the bottom of my wallet.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software in America. Visit TurboTax.com today. Trusted brand claim based on Intuit Commission Survey, August 2010.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankaverde, at the southwest corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
About 34 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, and joining us now is Shirley Scott, Ward 4 Councilwoman. Good to see you, Councilwoman, and I guess I can still say Happy New Year, can't I?
I think so, and Happy New Year to you. It's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you personally, and I wish you well in your new venue.
Well, things are going very well on this new venue, and thank you for mentioning that. I tell you, this week has just been... What can you say? The Saturday shooting just rocked this community. It's rocked the nation. And really, the story's gone around the world. What was your reaction? Where were you on Saturday when you heard the news?
Actually, I had just returned from my Safeway store because I was about to have about 14 people for lunch at my house. And as a result, I got a call in the midst of all the that confusion, if you will. And I got a call. And I just sat down. I was devastated. I was shocked. I was trying to take a moment to really take it in that anything this heinous would happen in Tucson, Arizona. This is very close to home. I do know several of the people who were involved one way or another. And certainly my heart goes out to all those who were killed and their families. What a horrible thing to have to deal with on a Saturday. These innocent victims should never have had this happen to them. Also, to those who were wounded, I send out my thoughts and prayers to them and the support groups. But we have to salute those heroes. These are everyday heroes.
These are good people in Tucson,
Arizona.
And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be living in a community that was a bad community. I have chosen to live in this community and make my career here and be, in a way, a public servant by presenting information and newsmakers. But I'll tell you, this is a very good community. And when you saw the heroism, I tell you, it almost brings tears to my eyes right now. And the emergency medical technicians getting the congressman from the shooting site to an operating room in 38 minutes.
Incredible. And the statistics should really speak louder than the event itself. We have one lone shooter, apparently, and then you have hundreds, maybe more, hundreds of people who rallied, who responded, regardless of age, by the way. It didn't have to be a young, strapping, muscular person. It was those who were there, regardless of age, took action, and then those who have since wanted to do something. Those far outnumber this one lone person who took action that caused all this horrible, horrible event. So I am saluting the people who are out there who have expressed ongoing concern. What can I do? Where can I go to plug in? That's what Tucson's all about. And frankly, as someone who really observes the United States of America, when the chips are down, Americans are there. And I don't care who you are, where you are, we can differ on different issues. And that's the thing. We should be able to differ on issues, specific issues. I don't like the way that particular thing is going. Well, I do. That's normal.
Sick. People saying I'm sick and tired of the way the council's handling Rio Nuevo.
Right. Specific issues. But when it comes down to someone taking action based on heaven knows what, this community still comes out on top with regard to the tenor and the wonderful response to the families and especially to those who were very much involved one way, either wounded or killed. I salute this community because they far outnumber the bad guys.
And these heroes, these 3, 4, 5 heroes, maybe there are more over there at Safeway,
yes,
they're leading the way in
absolutely
this healing process.
Absolutely.
And it's like the more I think about them, the better I'm feeling about my community.
Oh, absolutely. There are these horrible stories about other communities where they say, oh, they'd step over this person if they were wounded or shot. They don't care. That's not what Tucson is. And frankly, I've lived in a community like New York before where that was the stereotype. And I can guarantee you that's not what really happens. And so very much saluting the people of this community. This community is full of good-hearted, hardworking, really sensitive people who do care about others. And that's what's wonderful.
They really do. And the council decided this might not be the best of time to even do business on Tuesday. You decided just to, it can wait, right, till next week.
I think because of what was on our agenda, which was basically an overview of what the problems are with regard to our budget, and then we had a few things on our regular agenda. It was not what you call a jam-packed agenda. It will mean that in the future we may have to start the crack of dawn and stay till very late. But we were willing to do that in order for us to all take a breath and review our sensibilities and to move forward. But that's the thing that's going to happen is this council and we will be able to come out of this. We will address the issues that are before us. We will come up with answers. And that's the bottom line. And that's what really counts in this community.
You still will have the accessibility to council people. Will this shooting incident change security at City Hall? Did that come up this week?
Actually, it cannot change ultimately. Certainly, you have to be a slightly more cautious. But this is a one person with one motive kind of event. We do have to always be careful. You know, the other federal building and the county building downtown where they have meetings and offices and so forth, they do have very big security issues, security measures that have been put in place for years. City council chambers are still open. People can walk in from off the street, sit down in the council chambers. They are every bit as vulnerable as any of the council members and staff. So everyone who comes down to City Hall downtown really is in the same position as the council members. We cannot allow one person to overshadow the work that needs to continue. And I believe that we will rally and we will do what is right and come up with the solutions that face our community together.
Yeah, because what kind of a democracy would be everybody hiding behind doors?
Absolutely.
Or bulletproof glass or something.
Right. And so I have faith that we will move forward and take note and listen to those who might have suggestions about anything, including security, and move forward.
We will have the city manager, Mr. Mike Letcher. He'll be on our Friday radio roundtable this week. And, of course, we'll be asking him about the budget. The renter's tax revived, here we go again, is an option for city revenue. What's your take on that, Councilwoman?
Well, I think that, to be fair at this point, doesn't mean I support it one way or the other, but I do think it's fair to put any and everything on the table so that we again can take a hard look at what is reasonable and what will work and who actually will be affected by this. The renters in this community are the ones who are either on the way up to a house or on their way back from a house or simply can't get into a house.
It is a transitionary.
It is a transitionary place. And so you're affecting a lot of folks whose incomes have been attacked by the world recession. This is not an anomaly that is peculiar to Tucson. This is a worldwide recession. And there are countries that have declared they cannot pay their country bills, and they're saying so. And several have come on board and said, sorry, but we're going to have to ask you to forgive our debts. And so when whole countries are there, what do you think it comes down to when it comes to the city council?
Yeah.
We can't resolve our issues easily either, but we are still resilient enough and have enough foresight, I think, and enough latitude to come up with solutions.
Mr. Letcher unveiled a 100-plus page report, I think it was last week, on how to balance the city budget. The next year's budget begins July 1st. Are we okay in this city until July 1st, or what's the red ink here at this point?
Well, as far as I know, we are going to sort of coast along into the fiscal year. The fiscal year starts end of June 30th, beginning of July 1. So from my knowledge sitting here today, we are able to meet the bills that still have issues, but we will have bills paid more or less throughout that time. And we'll have to just see what state shared revenues are, what the revenues from sales taxes are, and so forth. So we'll have to see what the bigger picture is. And those numbers are still not available to us.
And no police or fire layoffs at this
point. No police or fire.
That's good news.
Yes, and that's very important for folks to remember that, you know, the city budget, to put it simply, is made up of three parts. The one part that everybody needs to focus on is called the general fund. And that's where police and fire are funded. 78% of that fund goes to police and fire, and that's what's important for people to know.
Got about 30 seconds to go. What about your political plans? I keep hearing your name as a mayoral candidate. Are you in the contemplation period here?
No, I've actually made the decision, and I'm taking papers out. I will be running for my own seat as a candidate for the Ward 4 council office. There is unfinished business out there. In the last 16 years where I have served, I've been able to bring back about $30 million worth of investment in various facilities and improvements. There are a few more things that the constituency should get, and I look forward to making sure that they get those things.
Okay, I am out of time, but another real quick question. When is this going to be resolved about the ward-only elections and the whole deal?
That's really in the judge's hands, and we have been told since November that the judge will come up with a declaration one way or the other. But even if a judge came down today and said, this is my statement, someone's going to say, well, let's see, and then let's make a stay. And so it's really unresolved, which puts the city and this election in a very strange position.
Shirley Scott, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
You're very welcome. I certainly loved seeing you, and you're doing a great job. Thanks for staying in the public eye. We need you.
I'm behind a microphone. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back with Hank Amos after this.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. Coming up on 50 minutes past the hour on The Buckmaster Show. We're live here Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. The show re-airs from 7 to 8 in the evening and, of course, always 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Joining me in studio, Hank Amos, Chairman and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Mr. Amos, always good to see you. And this year, 100th anniversary, the centennial year.
It is. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary.
That's amazing. Of course, this goes back. Your family heritage has been in this town a long time, and you'd have to go back a long time to see a more horrible Saturday than what we witnessed here. Some of your personal thoughts. You're a community leader, and I'd like to hear from you on the Giffords assassination attempt.
Well, I was in California when I heard the news, and obviously it was horrific, and you know, it's a jolt to the body. But you know, it's sad, but I think we all as Tucsonans have to realize that it's not a Tucson thing. It could have happened anywhere, and We just need to, you know, rally, you know, behind, the city needs to rally, and I think they're doing that, and we'll get over it. But I think that's the main thing. It's not a Tucson thing.
No, I was just saying this to Shirley Scott. This is a very good community. You wouldn't have invested your entire life here, and I wouldn't have spent the last 23 years here if it was a bad place. This is a good community.
It is a great community, and I have some friends who've lived all over the United States, and almost all of them say they live here because they have never been to a community where the people are more friendly and more open, and they really felt accepted here. So we have a great community, wonderful place to live.
Usually in early January, you put out your report on how the real estate market is doing. I remember 12 months ago, the word was very bad. Things were just not happening. Real estate market, is it improving?
It's improving. I think the best thing to say is 2010 is behind us, and the take-home value probably is that rates have stabilized. So the good news is rates are stabilized, and we stopped digging that hole. The bad news is we're still in that hole. It's going to take a little while to get out of it, and we'll get out of it gradually. I think 2011 is going to be similar to 2010, but we'll see some improvement, but gradual improvement.
Where's the improvement been? It probably hasn't been across the board. Are there some areas that have held their own that look pretty good?
Well, I think generally what you can say is that the bottom line is rental rates have stabilized. That's it. Everything was kind of fallen, and there was a lot of rent renegotiation going on. I think the interesting thing is we all thought there was going to be this tsunami of defaults. We talked about couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is somewhere between $1.3 to $1.5 trillion of commercial real estate that's going to be coming up. And so for the next 5 years, you're going to be able to see about $300 billion coming up every year. It hasn't happened yet. And the reason why we haven't seen all these defaults is because the banks, if they take back the property, they have to write it off. And if they write off all this property, a lot of these banks would be in statutory insolvency. So what happens is they're doing what this game called extend and pretend or delay and pray.
Or maybe, yeah, pray, certainly,
right,
in there.
And pushing it out. But eventually, as the banks get healthier, you're going to see more of these defaults start to happen. But the regulators and the FDIC have really kind of been looking the other way because they don't want to see all the banks starting to collapse.
We're talking with Hank Amos, the chairman and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Today he is putting out his really annual report forecast. And I want to quickly, Mr. Amos, go over some of the markets. We just had sort of a overall real estate view. Let's start with Tucson office market. You say it's getting healthier.
Right. So the office market right now, and I'll just kind of go through them kind of quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
The office market, the vacancy rates are about 16.3%. We'll probably see vacancy drop a little bit below 16%. The interesting thing, and again, rental rates have stabilized. Maybe if you're in a below class or below average property, you might still see rates slide a little bit. But the interesting thing or the take home is that we're starting to see folks coming down from Phoenix or regional players coming into our marketplace. They think our office rates are pretty much similar to what you see in the Phoenix market, and that's just not the case. You know, in Phoenix, they have 20 million square feet of vacant office space. So you can buy, they're selling 250 square foot Class A buildings for $60, $70 a square foot. Leases are sometimes in the $9 triple net leases. And so they expect to see that here, but you're not seeing that here because our market's a lot tighter.
So that helps us?
It helps us as far as we're a healthier market, and that's why our rates are stabilizing while Phoenix is still sliding.
Okay, retail space.
Retail vacancy rates. Vacancy right there is about 8.4%. We'll probably drop to about 8%. The interesting thing nationally is same store sales growth went up 3.1% from November over December for about $520 billion in sales.
Is that retail a pretty good number, 8.4%? Or?
You know, that's not bad. I mean, I think anything below 5 is better, but obviously it's a lot better than what you're seeing. Again, in Phoenix, you probably have about 25 million square feet in retail. What we're going to start seeing now is as the economy gets better, national or regional retailers are going to start expanding, and they're going to lock in at these lower rates. So you might see some more national retailers coming into our marketplace.
Is there a lot of industrial space still out there?
There is. The vacancy rate there is 19.59%.
Ooh.
But that's still below our high of 19.9%.
One-fifth, then, of all of our industrial space is available. Is that right?
Kind of. That's about what it amounts to. But the interesting thing that, you know, take home there is that we only had five transactions that were greater than 25,000 square feet in an industrial market that has 43 million square feet. And then, again, the interesting thing is in Phoenix, so our industrial market is 43 million square feet. Phoenix has 40 million square feet of vacancy. But the good news is, I think, for Arizona is California's structural budget deficit problem. I mean, they have some major, major problems
there.
Big time
problems.
And with a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature, they're probably going to lean more to taxing. And you already have high employee costs there. They're going to start taxing more. We could see some businesses start to relocate to Arizona, to Phoenix, and to Tucson to take advantage of that because they have to, you know, take care of shareholder value.
How about the values of our residential land? Has that's been really sliding in 2010?
It really did slide in 2010. Most of our sales happened in the first half of the year as opposed to the second half, and that's mainly because it looked like the residential market was starting to pick up a little bit, but that was really fueled by that tax incentive that the government put forth. And when that stopped, the housing market came to a standstill. But while it was starting to improve, builders started thinking, hey, I have to, you know, I don't want to get caught shorthanded, so I need to build my inventory. And we actually saw a short frenzy in the land market as builders were starting to grab finished lots, and they were paying to about $1,000 per front foot, which is a pretty high price. But all came to an end there. I do think home sales or home prices are probably going to continue to drop another 5%, maybe 10%.
Oh, really? You think we haven't hit the bottom then?
I don't think so just yet. So I think, you know, home prices are going to drop a little bit.
What's the inventory?
Well, the inventory
or lowering?
Actually, the inventory reached a high in October for what's available for sale.
So your bottom line picture here in the remaining minute, have we bottomed out in the commercial end?
I think for right now, we have bottomed out in the commercial end. So the main story is we've stabilized in our prices. For below average price property, you might see rates slide a little bit. We haven't seen that tsunami that we all thought was going to happen, but it probably is still going to happen to a degree as banks get healthier and they can start writing off these assets. And who knows what may happen 2 or 3 years from now. The peak of that's going to be in 2013.
So in the remaining 20 seconds, you say residential, maybe there's still about 5 or 10% there to go. When might that happen? The next 12 months?
In the next 12 months. I think prices will finally firm up probably towards the end of the year.
Okay. Hank Amos, always good to see you, the chairman and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Congratulations on 100 years in this community. Thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Going to about do it. Got a few seconds left to tell you about tomorrow's program, and Richard Elias from the Pima County Board of Supervisors will be with us. Also, I think we've got Gary Hayes of the RTA coming in, and a Buckmaster Show contributor, our historian Ken Scoville, will be trying to put these horrible events of the past week in some kind of a historic perspective of what really this has meant to Tucson, Arizona. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. It's been my pleasure to be with you for the past hour. Have a great day.
Listen to this.
You're tuned into Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.